The Inhibited Analyst by Neil Maiden, City University, London. A mother is in the kitchen, talking to a three-year-old daughter. The daughter says, "Why can't we go out to play?" The mother replies, "Because it's raining." "But why is it raining?" "Because there are a lot of clouds."
"But why are there clouds?"
"Because the sky is full of water droplets, which make up the clouds."
"But what are water droplets?"
"They're the rain that falls from the clouds."
"So when will it stop raining?"
"When the sky becomes blue again."
"But why is the sky blue?"
Well, because it is." We've all experienced it. The inquisitive three-year-old. Asking why. Over and over and over. Three-year-olds are endlessly curious. They want to know how things work and why they exist. It's their instinct. It's key to their learning. Being on the receiving end of such ceaseless questioning can prove exhausting. One reason for these torrents of questions is that three-year-old children have no inhibitions. They just keep asking until they get an answer that satisfies them. And they don't consider what others might think of them. Children at that age are inquisitive because their minds are expanding quickly. Most are starting to understand the concept of cause and effect, that there's a reason for almost everything. If the questions are getting too much, helpful parental advice is everywhere. Just check out the internet. For example, just don't say that's the way it is, like the mother in the sketch above. Instead, ask the child what he or she thinks. The explanations a three-year-old provides can be very informative and help you deal with further questions. Furthermore, tell the child that you'll work with her to find the answers. You can even write the questions down and make sure she sees it, so she knows you're taking her questions seriously. But of course, later, you'll have to honour your commitment and find answers. In certain ways, requirements analysts should behave like three-year-old children. They need to keep asking why, over and over and over. They should instinctively want to know how things work and why. They should be endlessly curious and inquisitive. However, social conditioning inhibits most analysts from acting this way. Adults have learned to conform to social norms, to the behaviour that's expected of them in the workplace. Get on with people. Don't be difficult. Let others do their work. As a consequence, most analysts are more inhibited than three-year-olds. They don't keep asking until they get the answer that satisfies them. Sure, practical reasons might prevent this, such as time constraints or access to stakeholders. But there are also social reasons. Most people don't want to bother others by endlessly asking why. After all, it's only natural to be one to be liked. Stakeholders often expect analysts to be experts in the application domain. However, endlessly asking questions with seemingly obvious answers can make the analyst look, well, a bit dumb. So analysts also need to develop a thick skin because most stakeholders won't be as tolerant or as patient as our mother. Now, I'm not asking analysts to imitate all aspects of a three-year-old's behaviour. No messy fingers, no regular snoozing, and tantrums are right out, at least except in exceptional circumstances. Rather, analysts should focus on asking several simple questions over and over. The first is, why are you doing this? Its purpose is to elicit the unstated goal or objective for something, for a behaviour, task, feature, or automation. For example, if you ask an ATM user why he's inserting a bank card into the machine, he's likely to say, to obtain money, or perhaps, to tell the machine who I am. The use of such questions is common and embedded in requirements acquisition techniques such as laddering, as well as techniques for modelling goals. But there's a second, less common question that I want to point out. It is, what happens beforehand? This question is intended to elicit the real triggering event for some behaviour or task. I believe that analysts can find it just as useful as the first question. The answers stakeholders provide often indicate changes to system boundaries and hence the real system goals. Consider an example I use to teach students how to write use cases. I start off by asking them for the triggering event in a use case specification. If I ask it when specifying the use case for withdrawing cash from an ATM, then almost without exception the first answer is, the user inserts the bank card into the ATM. In the narrow sense of an ATM specification, this is correct. However, does going to the ATM really meet our needs? To go out in the dark and the rain, waste our time, risk mugging to obtain our own money from a bank? I don't think so. So let's ask, what happens beforehand? Again and again and again, to see where it takes us. So the first event is, the user enters the bank card into the ATM. And what happens beforehand? The user realizes that he or she has inadequate cash in hand. And what happens beforehand? The user decides to make a purchase that requires cash in hand. And what happens beforehand? The user realizes the need to purchase something. The answers immediately reveal potentially different boundaries and thus different goals. The second answer widens the boundaries to a system that provides cash to make a purchase, a system that might or might not include an ATM. Requirements that stakeholders might generate from the answer include capabilities to acquire cash more easily, for example from any local store, or to borrow cash immediately from someone nearby to make a purchase, a new form of financial transaction perhaps. And the third answer widens the boundary still further to a system that supports purchasing, quite possibly without the use of an ATM. Requirements that stakeholders might generate from that answer include capabilities to make small purchases without cash, for example, using the other smart cards to maintain cash for travel or sports club membership. And just imagine the fourth or fifth answers to this same question. Not only do the questions widen the boundaries and change the system's goals, they can also reveal problems that a user is encountering, for example the absence of cash in hand, and important moments in time, for example when to decide to purchase a present, as well as the objective. The responses can be concrete and easier to work with than more abstract goal statements that the first question type elicits. Analysts need to ask the right questions repeatedly. They need to be more inquisitive and know why people want things, as well as what happens beforehand. This requires them to become less inhibited and keep asking questions until they and their stakeholders are satisfied with the answers, just like a typical three-year-old. Analysts must rediscover the child within, their misplaced childhoods. And it was morning. And I found myself mourning for a childhood that I thought had disappeared.